You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married. Well, here we are in the middle of coronavirus media 24/7 every day. It's the politics of a pandemic.
You know, I'm done with it. All right. 24/7 is too much for me. There's a lot of sensory overload, and there's just the information, depending on who you listen to, they'll bring on 100 different people and 100 different people, leaving out the political pundits, which I never listen to. 100 people will basically give about the same answer. So we get it. We should get it. We should know what the precautions are. But the thing that bothers me, and I just finished writing an article about this on America Out Loud, is that there is so much bad news that people go on sensory overload. They drown it out. And by the way, there's no context given. In other words, there's no good news or there's no hopeful news. And the people are so tired about hearing bad news 24/7 that when any context is brought forward, if it's on television or you're listening to your car radio, the people are so sick of it and numbed by it that they don't listen. And people live, like I said in the article, people in America, unfortunately, live by 30-second to one-minute sound bites.
Yeah, you know, I haven't really heard anything mitigating on the news. Even though there are a lot of mitigating things to this, yes, it's a virus. Yes, it's, you know, can be deadly if you have underlying health factors, if you're elderly, if maybe you're very young. But the key really is underlying health issues, right? And we've had viruses since the beginning of time. We've had the plague. We've had, you name it. You know, we had smallpox.
The potato famine that came over to the United States. And internationally, they had the potato famine in Ireland. They've had plague in Italy and throughout Europe. I mean, we've had these very large scale diseases and these pandemics in the past, even in our immediate past that I want to talk about in a couple of minutes. But what's happening right now, in my personal opinion, is that there's so much bad news, and also the politics are trying to placate the public. None of the politicians want to be known as a person who was behind the curve on coronavirus. So what they're doing is they're basically stepping off the ledge and, you know, closing everything down, closing countries down. We're closing air flights. We're closing sports venues. We're closing concerts and Broadway plays, Disneyland, large venues. And some, as a matter of fact, two governors, one from California and New York, have already pretty much made it a law against gatherings of 100 people or more.
I don't know how many people it is, but there's all kinds of things that those same governors have done. I mean, Gavin Newsom passed some sort of a law in California or executive order that he can basically overtake hotels to put people in. I mean, we're getting...
Forgetting that we have military bases, right?
Sure, but we're getting way, way off the charts here.
Absolutely.
With this. Is it bad news? Of course it is. People are dying. They are not dying in large numbers. So let's just take the United States, where we have something like about 2,500 cases at this point and 50 deaths. You were talking to me, Ron, about the figures from the regular flu.
Well, you know, here's what I want to talk about. And I do want to try to put this whole thing in perspective and get people off the ledge. So first of all, Stop the panic buying. Stop going to Walmart and going to Costco and cleaning out the shelves of bottled water and toilet paper and antibacterial soap and all in food and everything like this. Just stop it. Knock it off. Because what you're doing is panic buying besets more panic buying. And the media doesn't help when they tell people to go out there and stock up on 2 weeks worth of, you know, food and everything like that. Let's put all of this in perspective. So first of all, what is coronavirus? What is it? Well, first of all, it's a respiratory illness, just like the flu is a respiratory illness. And I want to talk about influenza, H1N1. It used to be called the swine flu. Now, very mundanely, it's referred to as the seasonal flu. And, you know, compare and contrast that to coronavirus. So we've had coronavirus for quite some time. It's actually common throughout the world in both the animal form and the human form. Okay. And this started out with an animal form that now, and it's very contagious. So a human picked it up somehow, emanating from Wuhan, China. And by the way, as I said in my article, Wuhan, China, or China itself, had another very famous disease that came out back in 2002, 2003 called SARS, you know. So, and, you know, what was SARS? Well, SARS was an acronym that stands for basically severe acute respiratory syndrome. And so, and we're going to come back to that in a little bit, but I want to talk about influenza and coronavirus. So both of them are respiratory illnesses. They both, if you are afflicted with it, whether it's influenza or whether it's coronavirus or what they call COVID-19 now, which is the medical classification for it, you're going to experience, or you could experience, fever, aches and pains, coughing. And with coronavirus, because it's a more severe respiratory illness, you're going to get some shortness of breath. Now, both can get bad. And both can ultimately, in severe cases, with very small children and elderly adults, 65 and older, actually more like 80 and older, with pre-existing medical conditions such as, you know, respiratory problems, especially that emphysema, you know, things like that.
Well, yes, kidney problems, heart problems, any of those things.
It can exacerbate that and it can lead to death, but it's very infrequent that it does that. And, you know, I've been reading medical reports, you know, left and right, and a very recent report by Yale Medical Center, the physicians reported there that actually people in the United States are at little immediate risk to contract coronavirus. And yet everybody is just panicking. So the one thing that is dangerous about COVID-19 is that it can transition into a more severe respiratory illness, progressing to pneumonia, right?
Sure.
And I've had pneumonia and you've had pneumonia.
Right.
Right. So, and we're still alive today, but, you know, we were, you know, younger people with pneumonia, but not that too far away from where we are right now. So the primary people that are in trouble or at risk for coronavirus, if they contract coronavirus, again, are young children and the seniors with the pre-existing medical conditions.
Well, and actually anybody with pre-existing medical conditions, because there are certainly younger people that have existing medical conditions. So that's the case. But what I'm objecting to, besides the 24/7 coverage of this, there's a lot of other things going on in the world. We do have a presidential election upcoming. That's virtually gone off the radar screen right now. But we also have, you know, just various different things happening in the world.
Well, our troops are still being attacked in the Middle East,
yes,
right? So, I mean, what happened with that? We lost a couple of our troops just the other day.
Yeah, and all this kind of goes by the wayside. The thing to me about the coronavirus, yes, it's worrisome. I can't stress that enough. But it is also really overdone. And I have to say that just today, I sent my daughter-in-law, just because I had knee surgery and I can't get out so much. So I sent her to the market for us. And she had to go to two markets. And we live in a small town, but we have big markets. You know, we have a Walmart.
And we have a big HEB.
And the shelves were cleared off. And I, in this small town, I was appalled. There also were two police cars out in front of the grocery store because people were actually fighting over food in the market. They were fighting. So here's a word picture for you. Just picture this happening today in the HEB. A woman goes in and she literally takes her arm and clears the shelf of cans of beans. Don't ask me why cans of beans, but clears the shelf into her basket of all the beans that are on the shelf. And another lady walked over to her and said, "Hey, I'm going to take two of those," and took it right out of her basket. You know, so hence you have an argument that I had at first, and you know, even though I've got every one of them in the store. So this is crazy making stuff. So I don't understand why, other than the media, okay, because the media is the one telling people to go buy all these things as though it's the end of the world. Why people are going out and running around. I don't feel the need to do that at all. I've got, you know, some things here in the pantry, some things in the freezer, and we'll eat what we have. And when we don't, we'll run and we'll get something that we need. All the chickens were gone. All of the meats and poultries and things were gone from the market. And that's just crazy. I don't understand that. Now, what also happens in that, Ron, is that people who really, really do need it, maybe who really are elderly and ill, won't be able to get it. And I just don't see that the media and the politicians are doing a service to all of us. Yes, make us aware of it. Yes, tell us, you know, that it's an issue. But for heaven's sakes, let's talk about.
Let me just get into, you know, comparing and contrasting and just put this whole thing, into perspective. And that's what people don't get. Again, when the media is incessantly 24/7 on coronavirus and nothing else and giving bad to worse news and very little contextual information, of course there's going to be panic. And then panic buying begets more panic buying. All right. So let's just talk about SARS for a minute. Remember we were talking about that from the beginning, right? Came from China. So it hit the world in 2002. And during that process, it had like a 15% fatality rate.
Right. Which is far higher than coronavirus.
Absolutely. But in all of that, I think we had, for SARS, worldwide, we had about 8,100 people that contracted it. 8,100 people around the world that contracted it, predominantly in China. And we had 774 deaths. 774 deaths. Now, if you looked at it globally, then the death rate was actually less. It was down around, 9.6. So let's talk about the big one, which is the seasonal flu. And the seasonal flu used to be called the swine flu, and it hit globally and in the United States in 2009. So in 2009, there were 60.8 million cases of influenza, of which they referred to by the medical term H1N1. So you had almost 61 million cases in 2009. Global deaths in 2009 were 284,000. And in 2009 in the United States, there were 12,000 500 deaths.
And by the way, Obama was president at the time. And what did he do about this? Did he have some crazy reaction like this? He didn't even act for a very long time.
Absolutely. And the death rate, listen to this. The death rate was 0.02. So two hundredths, right, of a death. All right. So you had 284,000 deaths, 12,500 in the United States. And how many do we have right now in the entire United States?
50. Right.
So we had 12,500 just in 2009. So far in the United States, in all of our states in the United States, we've had about 1,000 cases of coronavirus.
Actually about 2,500 now.
Oh, now? Okay. So about 2,500 and we've had 50 deaths.
Right.
Now in California, we're talking about influenza, not coronavirus, but influenza. So just in from December 25th of 2019 until New Year's Eve in the state of California, we had eight deaths just in that 1 week. And in California with influenza, between the 1st of October until the 28th of December, so the beginning of the influenza season,
right,
not coronavirus,
right,
influenza season, we had 105 deaths, of which 5 were children and 64 people were at the age of 65 or older.
So you're following the same pattern as coronavirus follows, yeah, as far as the risk pattern.
Right, but my point is, Gavin Newsom, with the first death of coronavirus, the first death. Now we've had, how many do you think in California?
In California, I'm not really sure.
But I don't think we've had 20 deaths, right? I don't think we've had that many. But anyway, with the first death, he declared a state of emergency for the state of California.
Well, you know why he did that, don't you?
Well, no, you tell me.
Well, when you declare a state of emergency, it frees up all kinds of money. And there's nothing that Gavin Newsom likes more than spending money.
Especially other people's money.
Yes.
Right? Okay, but then again, going back to influenza, the first 2 weeks of 2020, California saw a spike in influenza deaths. So in the first 2 weeks of 2020, they had 149 deaths just in 2 weeks.
And still no emergency.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So my point is, with all of the influenza deaths that I've already talked about for this past season, that is, and I did the math on it compared to, my math was off because I was doing it with 29 deaths until you said that there's been about 50
deaths. Well, it changes every day.
But you're going to get it because here's what I'm going to tell you. So we did nothing with influenza. We've done absolutely nothing nationwide with influenza. And influenza, if you go with the numbers with coronavirus, we had 758 times more deaths with influenza. Okay, the common seasonal influenza, 758 more times more deaths than we've had with coronavirus. And look at everything that they've done in the United States right now.
Well, you know, what's interesting, you know how they've stopped the cruise ships, right?
They stopped everything.
And hey, I get it. You know, the poor people on the Princess cruises that were stuck outside of Japan and outside of San Francisco, you know, the ship that went to Hawaii.
And also went to Mexico. We had one that went to Mexico.
Oh, we did? Okay.
Yeah, we did.
Well, and I get that. But you and I have been on cruise ships. So I've been on one pre-Dr. Martinelli, and when I was young, and it was over Christmas time, and I got the worst flu there on that ship. And I remember, because it was Christmas, and I was stuck in my little cabin, and I could do nothing. And then when you and I went on the riverboat cruise in Europe. Okay, so we've been on that several times, but the first time that we went, the whole boat got ill. The whole boat got a cough, and a respiratory thing, right? And one man was ill enough that he had to be taken off of that riverboat cruise and get to a hospital. Now, you and I were like, you know, fist bumping because we didn't get sick. And like, as soon as we left and got off the cruise, then it hit us and we got sick. But these things happen all the time. This is nothing unusual.
You know, you're exactly right. And you know, I want to continue this conversation right after our first cup of coffee.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. If you'd like to find out what forensic criminologists really do in the field, and you're tired of the false narratives about law enforcement and want to unpack the cases that I've worked throughout the nation, then please pick up a copy of my new book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, on sale right now at Amazon.com. That's The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police at Amazon.com.
What if a new treatment backed by 17,000 scientific articles was proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance? What would you pay for even the smallest dose of this treatment? Well, the good news is you don't have to pay anything, because these are just some of the benefits of a full night of quality sleep. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Until now, most sleep aids haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM Sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, healthycell.com/sleep.
Well, since we're still on the all coronavirus all the time on the Dr. Ron and Linda show.
and look what it's making us do.
Well, it is, but you know,
trying to help.
I'm sure
they think they're trying to help, but we're really trying to help.
These are some of the things, some of the observations that I can picture the average American sitting down at their kitchen table and talking about.
Yeah.
So, all of these things have now been canceled, right? You've got baseball, football, hockey, all the major sports have been canceled. Although, interestingly, this last weekend, bull riding was going full bore. Is that a plan works?
Yeah. No.
And we have cruise ships that have put themselves out of service for a month or more. We have, airlines not mm-hmm. traveling here and there. They've actually, Lufthansa actually parked some of its airplanes, and so have a lot of other airlines.
Well, you know, and I wanted to say something because I saw something on Facebook. Actually, I posted it on Facebook. I saw it on another.
You saw it because you posted
well,
it.
No. It was on another social media site, and it was like, look at Florence. And you know us. I mean, Florence is our favorite city, and they posted about 30 pictures of Florence, showing everything, you know, Ponte Vecchio, the Duomo, all the beautiful areas.
I don't know if you got the same thing as I did, but that was our friend in Florence.
No, this is different.
Okay, because I just received moments ago 10 pictures of he walked around Florence.
And there's nobody there.
No, not a soul.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it was spooky.
And he said, he titled it that it's ghostly beautiful. And his photographs, which I'll have to show you, are ghostly beautiful. They really, really are. It shows the beauty of Florence. Anyway, so that now they've closed all of these things, but they've also closed many, many schools. Okay, think of all these parents are panicking. They have to go to work. What are they going to do with their children now? This is a problem for families. And now you have a lot of companies saying, okay, well, you can work remotely. Well, you know, that's a good news, bad news. You know, some people would love to work remotely, others wouldn't. But either way, it takes some setup to have people work remotely. It's not you flip a switch and they work remotely necessarily.
Okay, so I want to talk with you specifically. You're the perfect person to talk to about this. And that is, you know, just very recently, Congress passed this bill called like the Help America bill, and it had all sorts of funding. So it had funding for, you know, free testing for everybody in the United States, okay, for coronavirus. And it had a week of
they extended paid sick leave to workers,
but by 3 months.
Well, okay, so that's a little bit of a misunderstanding there.
Okay, so tell me about
that. So everybody now will get 2 weeks paid sick leave. And if you have a business in some states, then that already has to happen, but not in all states. So now they've extended it to everybody, which is a huge burden on very small business owners. So, okay, so they did this, but then they extended the family leave.
That's what I was referring to.
3 months in case you are ill or in case somebody in your family is ill, or your dog is ill, or your aunt from Nova Scotia is ill.
Because I think, and your business is in California, and you're not supposed to ask. Isn't that a labor law that you're not supposed to ask?
There's a lot of things that you cannot ask. And I was actually reading up on that today because I try to stay up on it. It's very difficult. The employers are so hamstrung. It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous what politicians do to employers. They see employers as being evil people and the poor workers. And this is Bernie Sanders, you know, 1,000%.
Yeah, but Linda, let me tell you what, the Republicans voted for this too.
No, wait, I'm not saying, yes, they did. But they did get a lot of things out of the bill that were offensive.
Well, let me ask you, I mean, because believe me, I bow to your superiority in understanding this stuff. You know, your business and mine are totally different. Everybody, except for, you know, three employees that are full time, everybody is a subcontractor for me, you know, another 23 employees. But yours are all full time employees. So, you know, you have customer service people, you have sales reps. So tell me something. How does this affect someone like Linda Martinelli? How does that affect the small, and what I mean by that is a small business owner that has under 10 employees? How does that affect someone like you?
Well, even small business owners with under, say, 50 or 100 employees. So first of all, I already have paid sick leave, and I already am required to do the family leave because the business is in California.
But you don't have it up to 3 months. You don't have paid family leave that extends out to 3 months.
I don't recall but what they did now is that they made it this nationwide. So here's the thing. I wanted to figure out who was going to pay for that.
Exactly.
And I heard it today, and I have not read everything on this. So full disclosure to you that I don't know all the facts yet. This just happened. So we all have to learn. You know, it's like Nancy Pelosi says, you have to pass it, and then you could read it.
Well, you know, it hasn't even, and full disclosure, I mean, at this particular conversation, the Congress has passed it, but it hasn't gone to the Senate yet.
Correct.
And the president hasn't.
Well, the president said, you know, he'll sign it.
Well, I know, but I want to hear about how it's going to hurt business people.
But, you know, here's what rubs me about what they did. So they rushed something through, and 40 Republicans did not vote for it. Why? Not because they disagree with it necessarily, because they were given it an hour before the vote. And they didn't have time to digest what it said. And Pelosi is a master at slipping in
Absolutely.
A lot of pork into her bills. And she had pork in this one initially, which is why the Republicans would not go for it at first. And then they made that pork come out. So, because I mean, she was doing things with abortion in there that have nothing to do with coronavirus. So this is typical politicians. And this is why I say that the politics of the pandemic is about that saying of never letting a good crisis go to waste. You know, this is baloney what the politicians are doing. I don't disagree with everything that was in the bill. I'm glad that they're giving free testing to everybody.
Me too.
But back to who's going to pay for 3 months. So let's say you're an employer. Let's say you have 10 employees. Let's say you own a fast food restaurant. You have 20 employees, whatever. And one of them comes in with coronavirus. And now everybody needs to be quarantined. Okay, and now they get at least 2 weeks off and maybe more, right? Who pays for that? Who pays for their salary? Well, as I am understanding this, they get paid 2/3 of their salary for the whole time that they're off. Now, what happens to that owner? He's got to pay those salaries, but yet he's got to run his business. So now he's got to get 20 more people in there to run that business while the other 20 are off, right?
Well, okay, that's one. Keep going. Okay.
So that's double payroll. There are very few businesses that are small businesses that can afford a double payroll. Payroll is the biggest debt of any small business, and you will put somebody out of business in a heartbeat. Now, how are they going to get that money back?
Well, wait a minute. Let me give you a second scenario. I want you to respond to that. Okay, that's if the business is doing okay. For instance, like you got a McDonald's or something like that. Mm-hmm. Okay, but what if you have a business like yours where the business is...
Are you saying my business is not doing okay?
Your business kills it, okay? But I just want to, you know, but you do a lot of business with China. You do international trade.
I don't do a lot of business with China.
Okay, but so. Listen, you do business with China and you do international trade and you do business with the resorts and you do business with casinos
and
things like that. Okay. So let's just not make it Linda Martinelli, but hypothetically another business that all of a sudden, like a tourism business and all of a sudden you got no tourists.
Right.
And so your people are taking off on leave. Coronavirus leave for 3 months. You've got no money coming in, and now you're putting payroll out for 3 months for people that are not working. What is that going to do to you as a business owner?
Well, no, people can't survive that. Small, big business can survive it.
But
small
not,
businesses cannot survive
exactly.
it.
Exactly. That's my argument, Linda. I'm talking small business. I'm not talking right. Chrysler here.
Well, but some of the big businesses are very frightened to buy it. Now, hence you see the problem in the stock market because they also have profits that they have to deal with and they also have stockholders. So, you know, this is a big deal. Okay, so I'm wondering, okay, so let's just say in my business, somebody comes down with coronavirus or somebody thinks they did or whatever, and people take off work. Okay. First of all, I can't possibly
backfill.
Do everything by myself.
And you're not going to backfill that position.
I would have to backfill the position.
How would you do that, Linda? Those people don't have any training or skills to take over for a customer service representative.
Everybody's going to have to do the best that they can. But the issue is now if I have to pay it, think, if Americans think about, like, what if all of a sudden you had to pay a double house payment every month? I mean, that would really hurt you. Well, this is really going to hurt small businesses. So the government, in their kindness and generosity, says, oh, we're going to give you a tax break for that money. Well, great. So a year from now, on income that's much less, I'm going to get a tax break. What is that going to do for me to survive today?
That's my point. How does a tax break help the small business owner that is forced to close their doors because they've got no business coming in and their employees are taking an extended break away from work with coronavirus, claiming coronavirus, whatever? You know that sometimes there is going to be that employee or employees that take full advantage of a free paid vacation.
Absolutely. There will definitely
but
will be that.
But you're dead in the water. Would you not agree with me?
I agree with you. And, you know, here just today, we had a client cancel a $20,000 order for something that was for an event, and another client canceled some other items for an event. Why? Because the events were canceled. By the way, an event you and I were going to, just upcoming in a couple of weeks, was just canceled yesterday. It's an event we've gone to every year for 20 years, and it was canceled. We've already bought our plane tickets.
Hotel reservations already made,
everything done. And, so there's a lot of things that we personally have to change. And we're like every other American. Everybody is going to have to start adapting to the new paradigm here. But my point, Ron, is I don't believe that we needed to have a new paradigm. I don't believe that it needed to get to this point. I think that the politicians are taking full advantage of this for their own political gain in whatever way, twisted way that they see it. And the media, they just want to sell news. And bad news sells better than good news.
I agree.
So there you go.
Well, does this also have a lot to do with one of the problems that I've always seen in politics, and that is you've got attorneys running everything and no business people involved, okay, with the exception of our president of the United States, who's a business person. And the thing that bothers me, and thank God my business is not affected by this, but the thing that bothers me is that only naive politicians who had no understanding about how small business works, which is really the economic engine of the United States, are giving tax breaks, offering tax breaks when a business could very well close its doors. I just don't understand the mentality that would create that situation.
I promise you that businesses will be closing their doors.
I know it will.
Now, here's somebody who's one of those nasty people that don't want to let a good crisis go to waste, is Ocasio-Cortez, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. So what is her take on this? Her take is that this bill was not enough. We need to do more. Well, what should we be doing? We should be helping all the students with their student debt. Why? Think about this. She's got a ton of student debt. So this is all self-serving BS that our politicians are creating.
Well, but also, what's her business experience? She was a bartender,
right?
And not a good one, all right, at that. And so she has no business sense whatsoever, and she comes up with this kind of stuff.
So she wants a halt to student loan payments. She wants relief for mortgages. She wants a halt on evictions nationwide. So now you can be a loser and you can live somewhere and not pay your rent and not get evicted. We cannot go in this direction. Under the guise, the false guise of it being compassionate, we cannot go in this direction.
The thing that I don't understand, and I totally get the thing that we should be giving free coronavirus tests to everybody in the United States. I don't have a problem with that. But I'll tell you, I have a problem with a lot of this other stuff. I really do. And I'm hoping that these people wake up by the time it gets to the Senate and they take a couple of these addendums out of this bill. You ready for our last cup of coffee?
I am.
I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
As former law enforcement officers, we know that your life and the lives of those you love and work with can change in an instant when you encounter an active shooter.
Unfortunately, in today's world of uncertainty, encountering an armed active shooter can have deadly consequences. That's why the key to survival is training and preparedness.
And that's why we want to invite our listeners to seriously consider taking our Response to Active Shooter training course.
Violence can happen to you anytime and anywhere and when you least expect it. Having a response and survival plan and engaging it can be the difference between life and death for you or a family member.
Our Response to Active Shooter courses are customized for the corporate, school, church, restaurant, and small business environment at a reasonable budget that fits your needs.
So don't put this life-saving training off because you don't think it will ever happen to you. We call those people victims.
Our Response to Active Shooter instructors are all nationally renowned tactical law enforcement experts who will guide you through the life-saving protocols you'll need to survive an active shooter event.
So be a victor, not a victim. Go to responsetoactiveshooter.com to learn more today.
Remember, that's all one word, responsetoactiveshooter.com, and be safe out there.
Okay, so I just want to mention one or two other things that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez believes should happen with this. And still goes to the no good crisis, should, you know. Anyway, she says that students who now have to leave college because colleges are shuttered, somebody should pay for their plane ticket and their cost to pack up all their stuff and have to leave. And it just is reminiscent to me of Where's My Obama Phone? You know, I mean, somebody should have to pay for everything. She also thinks that insurance companies should have to reopen their open enrollment period. So insurance companies, you can only enroll generally once a year. And so now she wants to reopen that. Okay, well, let's think about that. Here's all these people who chose not to have insurance, who didn't want to pay the bill to have insurance. And now a scare comes. And now they want to just jump in and, you know, have the insurance companies change all their rules for them. I don't think that that should happen. I have insurance. You have insurance. Why? Because
we're responsible people.
Well, and in case there's something catastrophic, right? So, you know, my employees complain about the deductibles on the insurance, and rightfully so, because in my opinion, Obama completely ruined healthcare in this country. But that being said, at least if they were in a major car accident, if they had cancer or something, that health insurance would kick in. They're mad because they can't get maybe, you know, a free physical or something like you used to be able to. But you can't just keep changing the rules for people who don't follow the rules in the first place. That's not right. So that's number one. And then in Maryland, what they want to do something about, so now that they've closed schools, and I can see this in California. I haven't heard it in California. I just heard it in Maryland. But so they're closing the schools down for this pandemic, right? And there's 332,774 children that are approved in their schools for free meals every day. So they want to know how they're going to take care of feeding all those kids. Hello, it's not the school's job to feed those kids. When they are on school grounds, I don't even think it's their job at school. But that being said,
It's a federal, you know, breakfast.
It's a federal program. Right. Okay. But they're not in school. So let their parents feed them as they should.
You know, I want to walk down this road a little bit. I'm not talking about the kids, but I want to use that as an analogy. Why do we have to pay for all of this stuff from what really should be considered an act of God? This is nobody's fault that this happened. Just like influenza, nobody's fault. SARS, nobody's fault.
It's the Chinese's fault, I'm sorry.
But you know what I mean, right?
Yeah,
Why should we have to do that? I think that is so far over the line. Okay, I'm not expecting the United States government to take care of me, except for whatever programs that I've been paying into my entire life that I deserve because I paid into them. Medicare being one of them, but all this stuff about paid medical leave, pay extra family leave, all this other stuff. Why should taxpayers and especially business owners have to subsidize all of this? I don't understand. We didn't cause it. Why do we have to pay for it?
Well, I don't know, but this thing in Maryland bothers me because you know how they've made such a big deal about the separation of state and church,
yes.
Right? Well, how about the separation of school and home?
Oh, yeah, meaning family. Absolutely.
Yeah, because it is not the school district's job to reach into your home and feed your kids. That's ridiculous. And I resent that this is happening. I resent that they're even talking about this. This is the families. The families are getting basically a free lunch for their kids while their kids are at school. And you know, I didn't have free lunch when I was growing up and my family didn't have a lot of money, but either way, they get it. But when they're not at school, the school district has no business reaching into their home to feed them. That's just baloney.
No, I completely agree with where you're going.
Okay, so let's switch it up a little bit, Ron. Everything has a silver lining, right? And I think that this has a silver lining. And I think that some really important things that can come out of this is two major things. One is on the political side. One is on the America side, America first side. And we have to realize...
Well, which one are you going to talk about
first? I'm going to talk about the America first side. That what I heard is 100% of our antibiotics come from China. A lot of our medications, our diabetes medications, a lot of other medications come from China.
Yeah. Most of our generic drugs come from China.
Yes. And we don't make almost anything here at home for in the way of drugs.
If we do, if we package a drug here, the many of the ingredients for the drugs come from Asia, come from China. That being said. But you're right.
So let's think about the repercussions of that. Number one is China has already vaguely and issued a veiled threat that they would withhold antibiotics. Now, antibiotics are not going to treat something like a virus, but they treat...
infections.
Sure. Thousands and thousands and thousands, probably millions of people in the United States every year for different things.
Oh, for sure. It's millions and millions of people.
So now you're threatening our population and our health. And then you have diabetes drugs, which are extremely, I mean, they're life-saving drugs for people. We cannot be held hostage by China for these drugs. This is a time, I think, in our history of this country that these politicians who are doing all these stupid things in Congress
not only are they doing that, but look at all the lobbying that goes on behind our backs with our politicians and their families.
Well, yeah.
Just look at the whole Hunter Biden thing and the John Kerry thing and the Nancy Pelosi thing.
Well, they're all taking
money
from China.
They're taking millions of dollars and they're lobbying. My belief is, and I tend to be pretty conservative about this, if you come to work for the United States government as an elected person, that is an honor. And you should not exploit that honor or benefit financially from that honor. Okay?
No, I totally agree.
You shouldn't be able to lobby that puts the United States in these positions. Don't you agree?
Yes, I agree. But let's take a look at a silver lining. A silver lining could be, if we're smart enough, and I hope that we are, I hope to God that we are smart enough in this country. My fear is that our political system is not smart enough. We need to take making these drugs in our country as a priority, and also our oil. Now, I know that we've become oil independent, but you know, since the oil prices just went to hell in a handbasket overseas, and we're down to something like $32 a barrel, it's great for gas prices, but our Texas people are suffering in our gas and oil market right now. So we need to not allow those people to control our future here.
Well, you know, and let's talk I love this silver lining thing in America First conversation, because look at all the stuff that we allow to be built overseas because it's cheaper. So what you were telling me the other day, that like 100% of all the Apple phones are built overseas.
Right.
Right. And then look at the car industry and a lot of other industries that build things. They build tanks, they build airplanes, they build ships and computers and all of this stuff.
It's a lot of tech stuff, which goes into everything.
And a lot of it is built in China.
Yeah, chips.
What are we thinking? We need to be doing what we did in World War II. Remember, you know, prior to World War II,
I actually don't remember.
Well, I'd be a student of history, okay? So under the Woodrow Wilson administration, it was, you know, and post-Woodrow Wilson administration after World War I, the United States became isolationist. And so when World War II came, we had to get everybody together and all these different corporations together to turn out the United States industrial war complex, right? Because we needed to build everything and we needed to be self-sufficient because everybody else was engaged in war. And at first we were building war things for other countries like Great Britain and, you know, all of and our allies. We need to be going back to that and develop more products here in the United States.
We need to do that, and particularly with our healthcare. We cannot allow a communist country to control our health in this country. So I hope that our politicians wake up right now. This is the time, this is the place to have this discussion. And it can be a huge silver lining for the future of all Americans. Just think, if China wanted to really control us, they could poison all of our antibiotics. I mean, come on. Why are we allowing this to be? And like you say, it's in so many different areas.
You know, and it's not too far-fetched, and I'm not a black helicopters guy, that this particular coronavirus was manufactured in China and let loose. And now, you know, if there were drugs that China made that could cure this or whatever, you know, and they could hold back on us and they could totally turn the paradigm on trade and renegotiate everything that Trump already positively negotiated for the United States. I mean, there's a lot of things that go on. Now, I know what people are going to say. Okay, don't forget, they pay people in China, you know, 25 cents an hour or less to make these chips and to do all of this stuff. So be prepared to go from 20 cents an hour to $20 an hour. And, you know, I say, you know what, the market's going to bear what the market's going to bear.
I agree. And, you know, one of the problems with chips and things is that China has the raw materials that we do not have in this country.
Silicon and all of that.
So that's important. But those are things we can trade for. I'm more concerned about the healthcare things. They need to come back to this country. So let's talk about another issue of silver lining. So this week, as you and I are sitting here discussing, I've got the big cast on my leg and I had a knee surgery.
And Dr. Ron has been offering bedside manner and medical consultation.
Yes, he has. And the thing that it's done is it has not enabled me to actually physically go to work. I can work from my computer and so forth. So that's what I do. But you and I travel a great deal and we always talk about it, and we have not been traveling. And not because of coronavirus, but because I blew out my knee a couple of months ago.
And you're laid up, and it's just hard for you to move around.
So I had surgery on it. And so it's allowed you and I to be together a lot more.
Oh, no.
And I know. And sometimes we want to kill each other. But, you know, for the most part, it's really made me appreciate more being home, just being with the dog, seeing our own little critters that run around our property, being with my husband, eating at home much more because we go out quite a bit. And we haven't been doing any of those usual things. And I am really enjoying it.
Well, what's going on now on the ranch is it's spring and everything is popping, right? All the flowers are popping up. The leaves that have been off the trees, the buds are starting to pop. And it's a beautiful place right now at the Martinelli Ranch, looking down at the river. It's absolutely gorgeous right now.
So I'm thinking about America, okay? And I'm thinking about, okay, the schools are shut down. People are maybe working from home. They're not going out to eat as much. Oh, by the way, they're not going to hockey games, baseball games, football games. They're not sitting in front of the TV watching football every Sunday. Is it Sunday that's football? Yeah.
Right, because there's no football games.
Yeah. So,
well, right now we're into basketball season.
Oh, okay.
Now,
well, I don't know. Anyway, so all the sports are down. And just last night we went out for our daughter's 40th birthday, and we went to a restaurant that normally is jam-packed. I mean, you can't even get in there. And
I'd say 50% off.
Oh, at least 50%. Yeah. So what I'm saying is people are going to be at home with their families more. Oh my goodness. You know, what are they going to do? Here's a time for America to go back to basics. Start talking to your kids, go out and throw a ball with them, play board games, have a cup of coffee with your wife or husband in the morning and, you know, chill for a bit. Cook more at home, learn new things to do, spring clean, do things that, you know, take a walk.
Read more, do what I just did, and I just wrote about it in my article. Just turn the television off, turn the radio news off. Don't be engaged with the news and do other things to let your mind grow. And if you want to read about coronavirus, then do it yourself because it's easily Googled. But don't get sucked up with all of this news 24/7 that is so depressing and provides no context.
Now we have become such a commuter population, and our kids don't get the same family experience that they did when we were growing up.
Exactly.
And I think that it's really a great time to come back and renew that. So for people with kids, get them off the video games and get them off the cell phones and actually connect, talk to your kids, figure out, you know, what's going on in their life. Get to know your kids. I bet a lot of parents don't even know their kids because they're so involved in other things. And I'm not condemning them. It's just the way that we are living. So now that you can't do all these things, let's do something different.
And you know what? If you're that parent that's an on-the-go parent, you know, somewhat disengaged with your kids, it's going to feel uncomfortable at first. And
right.
It's going to be not only uncomfortable for the kids because this is new for them and it's uncomfortable for you, but get past that, break through that barrier and have great communication with your kids. And I think it might surprise you what you learn about your own kids.
You know what I would do if I had small kids? I would make flashcards and, you know, work with them on things like phonics and basic math and things. You know, it's going to tell parents what their kids are learning and not learning in school, which I think is a huge issue. I think the parents don't know a lot of that. And I think that it'll be a wake-up call for everybody. And like you say, that's a good point, that it would be uncomfortable at first, but get over that and, you know, get your family back together. Remember the roots of, you know, why you're a family in the first place. I think this is a great opportunity to make something good out of something bad.
Well, you know, it's interesting because during the time you've been laid up, you usually are running around with your hair on fire. And I've actually seen you go through a decompression period and actually enjoy being at home and going out on the patio and looking out at the flowers and our trees and the river and all of that, where you, a lot of times you don't have, you know, time to do that. You're so busy working. So for me, looking at you, it's been really cool. So,
well, I'm enjoying it, and I think I'm going to have a hard time going back to the other lifestyle. It makes me think I'm going to make a few changes.
And I'll watch you.
Well, you can join me.
I will. So, are you ready to kick it in?
I am.